At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only 10 bucks every day. Now that's finger-lickin' good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.
Don't sweat the technique.
You found the killer bees. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
The Surtain news in a couple of minutes. Pessimistic Chad, as if you wouldn't destroy the Texans every week as they went 0-17 as the Astros won that title. Of course we would. Equal opportunity hater. I would take enjoyment out of doing that. Not that I root for that, but I'd be pessimistic Branham. Pessimistic Chad. 713-780-3776. Let's go back out to the HRMP listener line. Troy, you're in the hive of the bees. What's up, Troy?
Hey, what's going on, guys? I appreciate you taking my call.
Mm-hmm.
So I really don't understand the questions. If the Texans, with the talent they got, can't win but 7 games, sure, give me a Astros World Series. I text in. I think another question to ask is just to see the difference between Astros fans versus Texas fans. Who would you rather see win the next championship? I'll hang up and listen.
All right, Chad. We're going to do that tomorrow.
Troy.
Troy. I was thinking of Chad, pessimistic Chad. I was looking at his name still. Yeah, it's a good question, Troy. We're gonna discuss that tomorrow. I need time to think about it. I need time to sleep on it. I can't do anything off the cuff or off the top of my head. So I need time to prepare, come up with a compelling argument, and then give you my answer then, Troy.
I wish Troy wouldn't hung up because I was going to ask him the follow-up question.
Well,
we
know his number now, so you can text him.
Well, just ask him, like, how low would you go then, Troy? If you said that, you know, the 7 games was realistic, then...
He said he didn't understand the question, so...
I mean, I was trying to explain it, saying, okay, but he kind of did when he then went to the Texans and said, you know, with the 7 games, well, how many losses would you feel is acceptable for the Texans to take another World Series?
There's only two answers. It's either 0 wins or 1 win. Those are the only two. And I understand the embarrassment of being 0-17. So it's either 0 wins or 1 win. That's the answer. You get a championship, you get a ring, you get a parade, you get another, you know, postseason run, you get the number one pick of the draft, and then the Texans are back in 2025. That's the answer. We celebrate championships as a city. Like, we look back at what are the most memorable moments in sports history. Like, Brian's being prisoner of the moment, looking with blinders on. Like, looking at this as a one-year thing.
Prisoner of the moment?
Well, yeah, you're looking at it as a one-year thing.
No, I'm looking at it as the last 23 years thing. I'm not taking
a step back
with the
Texans. The Texans will be fine in 2025. They'll be fine in 2025.
See, my thing, Jeremy, to what you're saying, it's also bigger picture. It's a legacy. It's a dynasty. It's going to be remembered as one of the...
Aren't they already a dynasty?
But they would be remembered with...
It's debate.
It is. It's still being debated, and it would be arguably in there with some of the greatest Yankees teams and greatest teams in the history of baseball, period, if they would do that.
But I have a feeling that the people you're trying to win an argument about with, that if whether or not it's already a dynasty, are the type of people that aren't going to be convinced no matter what.
No,
that's not true at all.
The Astros ripped off like 4 straight titles. They're so anti-Astros, they're not going to give you the credit of being a dynasty.
I think some people think you need 3.
I think
some people think you need 3 championships to be a dynasty.
Not only that, but as much as you're getting some of the national guys to come around, they still think, even if it's Jeremy's point of 3 is the magic number, that because the 17 title in their minds was tainted, that's why it's so important to get at least 3. And that would factor in more than some would say 2 in the World Series appearances.
You would get more people onto the bandwagon train or the, you know, dynasty train. I do think that the Astros are a dynasty.
I do too.
But I do think that there is a pocket of people that don't think that they are that would be convinced.
Yeah, I
with
think
a
it would just
China.
Shut up so many people and solidify them as not only just all the golden era of Astros baseball, but one of the best teams of all time.
And plus, like, fast forward 10 years, like, you have a 5th championship in one of the big three pro sports in this city, and the Texans are probably fine in 2 years.
Yeah, like, I think 1 year. I think after this season, the Texans are going to be fine.
Yeah, it's 0 wins or 1 win. Those are the only answers. If the Texans get none or 1 win, do you think that management will fire someone because of that record? I really don't. Like, if they went 1-16 this year, I don't think they would fire DeMeco. I don't think they would fire Casario.
No, but I think it also matters how you get there.
I don't think so.
There's no path to 1-16 that would be fine.
But I don't think anybody gets fired.
Okay, yeah,
it's like maybe Stroud coordinator.
If CJ goes down because this
even with injury, like if CJ Stroud plays, like maybe coordinators. But D'Amico Ryan's job is safe with a 1-16 record. Nick Caserio's job is safe with a 1-16 record.
I would agree with that.
But yeah, no, maybe coordinators or positional coaches. But even Slowik, I think, is safe.
Yeah, but I'm saying if everybody was healthy the entire season for the Texans and they went 0-17 or 1-17, then I think you'd be more likely to have someone's head roll.
I don't think so.
Ooh, I do. I think you mentioned it. I don't think so. I think it'd be coordinators.
Well, yeah,
for
that's
sure.
Different. I'm talking about like the main guys. I think Caserio's safe with 1-16. I think D'Amico's obviously safe.
Yeah, D'Amico ain't going anywhere.
Yeah, D'Amico. The Nick Caserio would be the one of the two that has a bigger chance. But right. I even think he would be safe.
Yeah, I think because that's what I was saying. That's how it matters. Like if it's an injury, then everybody's fine.
Yeah, I was going a step further though. Like I'm saying, even without a significant injury, I still think they would be safe. Caserio's getting axed 1-16.
Again, depending on how the whole season went, but yes, I think that he would be on the hot seat.
That's not the same.
Okay, well, okay. if anybody of that group of people, I think that it would be Nick Caserio.
Still didn't answer the question. Do you think you'd be fired 1-16? Nobody's hurt.
Yes.
Okay. All right. Patrick Surtain got a big contract today. 4 years, $96 million, 77.5 guaranteed. He's the highest paid corner by a few million, by the way. The bar was at 21. He took it to 24. Yep. The bar was here. He went past that bar. Do you think that Derek Stingley is going to get a deal similar to this whenever his time is here?
I do. And you have to start watching the clock to start thinking about, like, when is the appropriate time to start talking extension? And there's a lot of, you know, not, I won't say a lot of people. There are people that are worried about his health still and saying he's got to stay healthy this season. But you know that similar to the quarterback position, but not to the same degree in terms of the amount of money, but you know that he is going to be rated as one of the highest rated corners in this league. And the numbers are only going up. You mentioned it. The fact that Jair Alexander was the highest paid corner for basically a half a day. And then all of a sudden, here comes everybody else. And now we went from 21 to 24. And we know we've talked about the fact that CJ's day is coming, but you know you got guys before him that you're going to have to solidify and wrap up. Stingley's going to be one of those guys. If he's healthy and looks the part as you get into the season, Sauce Gardner's right there with him, and we know where they were drafted, and you know it between those two teams, it could be the difference in a couple million dollars in the fact of when you sign the contract, when you get it done. We mentioned this with Dak when we were talking about quarterbacks, too, and getting to 60. I just think that from the Texans' perspective, because this just bumped at 3 mil, that they've got to be fully prepared and start to talk about already extension time for Stingley.
Yeah, I think that Stingley has been looking forward to this day since August 26th when he hired David Mulugeta. I think Derek Stingley Jr. is looking at the Patrick Surtain contract, and he's still a couple of years out, so that actually means he's probably going to get more than $24 million if he stays healthy and plays at a high level. But yeah, this resets the corner market, and absolutely it's going to influence Derek Stingley Jr. And good problem to have. The Texans are going to have these decisions with multiple players. Mm-hmm. Like they've already extended Nico Collins. They're going to have to look at Will Anderson at some point, C.J. Stroud at some point, Tank Dell at some point, Christian Harris at some point, Jalen Petrie on a lesser scale at some point. Good problems to have. First world problems for an NFL team to have. But they're probably not going to be able to pay all of these guys.
No. And every good team goes through it. And we saw that, like, you know, the Patriots had a certain philosophy where they weren't going to pay the big money for the big premier players other than Brady. And Brady took less so they could have more. And they were able to find players to fill those roles. And then they really invested in the trenches, in the offensive linemen, in the guys on the defensive side of the football. But when you look at it, you're right, it's a good problem to have, but it's something that they have to be very, very cognizant of with their bottom line. We talked about the cap, saving money, rolling it over, because it's coming. And, you know, there's going to be, when you get to the ability of contracts that are going to begin competition, right there with the picks between between Sauce and Stingley, it's going to come down where, again, whatever he gets, it's like the Jamar Chase situation, because instead of being in the last year of his deal, he's also trying it by going, I had 2 years left. I want my money now.
I don't know if Stingley's better than Surtain. I think it's tight. I think it's close. Sertan's probably had a bigger body of work.
But you know how it works, like similar to the quarterback. If you're the next guy up and you're in that handful of guys.
But I don't know if Stingley is Chase to Sertan's Jefferson. You know what I mean? Like, I don't know if I'm sure Stingley thinks he's in that same class. I'm not sure if across the league they think Stingley is in the Surtain tier.
Well,
but certainly Chase is in the Jefferson tier. Like, Chase is a tier one receiver.
Yes.
Around the landscape of the NFL, and Houston's a different story because I think Houston would say Stingley is a tier one corner. around the entire league, do they view Derek Stingley on the same tier as a Patrick Surtain?
I don't think people know the name enough yet. Mm-hmm. I think that's why this year is such a big year if he does kind of really have a coming out party. Because you remember, CeeDee Lamb was up, and is CeeDee Lamb, he's one of the top three. So it's just, when's your contract up?
Yeah, but Lamb's in that tier. Like, Lamb's in the tier, though, of tier one receivers. Mm-hmm. I don't know if Stingley's in the tier one corner conversation yet. Now, we see him every day. We see him every game. I think we would be more likely to put him in that tier than the rest of the NFL. Now, I would agree with you. Another year, yes.
Yeah, I think he is.
Another year, yes.
Yeah, if he stays healthy and has the year we think he's capable of, I definitely think that he'll prove to the whole world that he's in that tier.
How much Kyle Pitts stock do you guys have?
Zero.
Yeah.
I'm not.
This was the year for Kyle Pitts.
Not that you can ever predict injury, and obviously the news here is he's dealing with the hamstring injury. But I had zero of Kyle Pitts.
This was the year. Kirk Cousins is here. He's going to bring out the best in Kyle Pitts. Arthur Smith is gone. Kyle Pitts is going to be unleashed. He's already disappointing people. Limited practice hamstring thing. We'll see what kind of year he has. He's got to be. Better. He's got to be better this year.
He does, because you know he's been like a tweener.
I don't know if he's any good.
He had 1,000 yards as a rookie, but that's 3 years ago now.
He can't block. He's
tied in a name only. He's a wide receiver.
Right. He's like he's a slot. He move him around. He's a weapon, but he's not a tight end.
Yeah.
I'm gonna say he's not even a weapon.
He's like Jimmy Graham. Well, not obviously anywhere near the talent of Jimmy Graham, but Jimmy Graham was never an inline blocker.
Did you hear this Daily Mail report on Travis Kelce? There was this fake contract that was going on around the internet that signaled that Travis Kelce's relationship with Taylor Swift is staged. This contract had a breakup date on it for late September. So we'll see. I mean, we'll see. If they're broken up by late September, I think we can put some credibility in this contract. Now, what's weird about this, I mean, conspiracy theory contract on the internet, like who cares? But Daily Mail is reporting that Travis Kelce had his lawyers stop this.
Yeah, I mean, I think that you would probably be uncomfortable with it and not like it, especially if it was a legitimate relationship. I think Travis Kelce's his entire demeanor, he's not going to be flying around the world in his entire offseason and doing all the things that he did with Taylor Swift if it was just all an act.
I don't know why you would be bothered for your lawyers to stop this, though.
I kind of have the same feeling. Like, if this is fake, like, why would you even have a reaction? Yeah. You would just dismiss it as tabloid garbage.
Laugh it
because
off.
It's a negative, because it's a bad look for you.
They're going to have negatives no matter what. Because they're being exposed,
because I don't think that they want that kind of – he probably doesn't want that kind of publicity.
I think it's more negative to have the lawyers be like, no, you're stopping that silly conspiracy thing nobody believes.
You're putting credibility to it, but you're clearing your name at the same time. I think if you're offended by
it.
I don't think he's clearing his name.
I don't think you're clearing your name at all.
I don't think he's clearing his name. I think that people are like, oh, he's actually like following through with this with legal action. Like, now you're making this serious. Like, if you first see it, it's like, haha, fake internet contract, no big deal. And now all of a sudden the lawyers are on it. Like, it adds a level of credibility to it.
I disagree. I think that, you know, if everybody reacts differently, and if he feels like this is really ticking him off, and that, you know, and he feels firmly, you know, strongly about how his relationship really is with her, that if he wants to fight it and clear the name and basically say, I would never sign up for shenanigans like that, then I don't think there's a problem.
Yeah,
I don't know how you can clear your name against the internet, though. You can never win again.
Not against the internet, but against whoever actually has put it out there.
But you're talking about kind of a court of public opinion, which is the internet. You're never going to win a court of public opinion against the internet.
Yeah, it's true.
You can't win that fight. Internet is undefeated.
Yeah, they're still going to comment, but like you've seen all the people that have cleared their name, fought the tabloids, and got a huge chunk of money in the process of suing the tabloids.
Well, that's
when they
a
were
different
wrong.
Conversation. I mean, and Kelce doesn't need the money.
But isn't this a tabloid-esque kind of move to be able to put this thing out there if it is indeed false?
Oh yeah, it is, but you can't win. I mean, you can fight them and maybe get a settlement, but you're not going to change people. In fact, I think you're, like, to Jeremy's point, I think you're going to embolden people. Like, I'll just talk for me personally. If I hadn't seen this headline, but if I had, I would, whatever, tabloid. But by the fact that you're fighting is like, well, maybe there's something there.
Yeah, maybe the Daily Mail is just wrong and that Travis Kelce's lawyers didn't do this, but, like, the contract stuff has been deleted, like, from Twitter. So, like, that's adding another element that, like, oh, maybe his lawyers had the success of being able to get to the genesis of this thing and have it taken off. It's just weird. Like, who cares about some random rumor on the internet, and now you're getting your lawyers involved with it? It's just odd. And if they break up in late September,
oh, yeah.
Thing was real.
Well, now they'll break up in late October if it was real.
Yeah, they just bumped it back.
Can we just make the deadline by the end of the year.
Yeah.
If they break up before the end of the year, yeah. perhaps their relationship was staged and this contract was real. Sertan tier break. Stingley's really good, not great yet, so he doesn't think that Stingley's quite in that Sertan tier. And then 1904 yard tripping. This is a football city. We want to see the potential of the Texans. Love the Astros, but not willing to sacrifice that for the Stros. They've had their time to shine. It's football time in Houston. The truth of the matter, though, like, it might actually be in the best interest of the Houston Texans long term.
Oh,
if they did get that first pick,
yeah, you add one more stud in a team that's already loaded up. That'd be pretty nice. Yeah.
I love the sales job to say it's in their best interest to win one game.
Best interest long term.
Come on, Jeremy.
It is. Why wouldn't it be? If you know that the Texans can't win the Super Bowl this year,
one player who's a rookie,
yeah.
For the long term.
I mean, Stroud and Will Anderson, you're built on those rookies.
Yeah, I'd rather go ahead and just take the shot this year when you're already built to be a Super Bowl contender. I'm saying over adding one rookie.
But if you know that you're not going to win it all, and you know that the Astros win a World Series because that's the collateral reward out of this, I think it helps you 2025
sure,
going forward.
If I'm being forced to take this, then I'd rather win one game than eight. But yeah, I'm not going to take it.
Right. That's the argument.
If I'm to take Jeremy's side in that argument, the biggest thing would be the fact that if there are two good quarterbacks and the Raiders, say, for example, and another team are dying to get to the top of the draft, and you have the number one draft pick, and you obviously don't need a quarterback, and you could get like a whole load like the Bears got, now you're really, really good.
Is it time for the Texans to bring back the embrace the suck? 713-780.
I hate you so much.
3776. All right, I'm kidding. Who are you most intrigued to watch in the NFL this season? We're about 25 and a half hours away from the NFL kicking off. Who are you most intrigued to watch this season around the league? It's the Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5. Coming to you live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, it's the Killer Bees
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
Killer Bees, ESPN 97.5, ESPN 92.5. Who are you most intrigued to watch this year in the NFL? K-Crow on YouTube says, y'all are idiots, so don't fight fake contracts posted about you. That's the dumbest thing I've ever heard, but it came from Branham, so no surprise. If somebody posted a fake contract on the internet that my wife and I were going to get a divorce in November, I would not pay it any mind. I would not care. I do not care about some random on the internet like you, K-Crow. Like, why would I care about that? Because I'm not going to get a divorce in November. Because I'm going to stay with my wife for my entire life, hopefully. Knock on wood. That's my intent. So, yeah, I wouldn't care about that.
Well,
why would you?
I mean, it's close, but you don't have the same kind of publicity and cachet as Travis Kelce.
Yeah, it's debatable.
And so when you get to a situation like that where the reactions and the scrutiny and everything that goes with it is different.
I mean, we see fake things posted about celebrities all the time, and not that often are they getting their lawyers involved.
Some fight them, some don't. The ones that have fought them have won.
But it's an endless fight, though.
Not always, but a lot
not
of
always.
Them. I think
it's really hard to sue for slander or defamation. Really hard. Really hard.
I believe that the Inquirer and the Daily, whatever, in London.
Yeah, they've lost.
I think they've lost.
But
yeah.
It's very difficult to do.
You have to prove whoever published it knew it was wrong.
Yeah.
That's a very, very tough line to me. And even if you do win it, I mean, it's the internet. You're going to be, it's like you're swatting, like a swarm of flies. You're going to be swatting at them forever.
Well,
I mean,
it's also a form of validation. Stories. If you win it in the court of law, you can deal with it a little, you can deal with just the schmomos on social media.
Yeah, I just don't know why, what's the gain of the validation, though? Like, what is the reward?
That your name is cleared.
You know what else clears your name? Getting married to Taylor Swift and being with her for the rest of your life. Like, I would say that's a way greater reward than, like, winning some legal court system that no one's going to really care about.
Okay. Well, we also know that everybody...
Prove the contract wrong.
But we also know that everybody's different in how they react and what they want to do to rectify.
This is a fun conversation. I didn't expect we were going to have this conversation today. It's a good one. I do like it. 713-780-ESPN. The Kelce-Taylor Swift relationship always gives us content.
Thank God football's back. Now we can talk about Travis Kelce and Taylor Swift again.
I love it so much. All right, who are you most intrigued to watch this season in the NFL other than Taylor Swift? 713-780-3776. Let's go out to the HR&P listener line. Pena, you're in the Hive of the Bees.
Hey, what's going on, guys? So I'm intrigued to watch two guys, Marvin Harrison Jr. And I would be lying if I'm not going to be scoreboard watching Jonathan Grenard. That's about it. Thank y'all. Have a great day.
I didn't think about Grenard. That's interesting. Don't let him get a grade one ankle sprain, Minnesota. Skull on the way to the IR after he gets a boo boo on his pinky toe.
You know how I get irritated by the national networks when they get like names wrong. Good morning, football. Akbar Bajumilla said Jonathan Grenard.
Oh, really?
And I was like, who? He's like, you know, the Texans lost Grenard, and I don't know how, you know, I know what Danielle Hunter could be in what he was in Minnesota, but I don't know if they can replace with Grenard. And I was like, who the hell's Grenard?
That's
on
funny.
Good morning, football.
Okay, this will be hot takey. I think Grenard's going to get his bag and fade into Bolivian.
I don't think
trash.
He's going to fade
into
Bolivian.
I don't think Jonathan Grenard is going to get 12 sacks this year.
Okay. He had what?
That would be a career high, though.
Year?
Oh, did he get 12 and a half? Okay.
I don't think Jonathan Grenard gets double digits. I don't think Jonathan Grenard gets double digit sacks this year.
I think they're
trash.
I think the John Grenard, 12 and a half sacks.
I don't think Grenard does either.
Will be his career high.
I definitely don't think Grenard will.
Grenard's got no shot.
12 and a half sacks, Grenard's career high. Won't ever have as good a year. He had a good sophomore year. He had a good second year.
Eight sacks. Sophomore year?
Rookie year was pretty meh. 8 sacks, second year, 12 games. Next year, missed half the year, 1.5 sacks. And then in a contract year, 12.5 sacks. Two of the biggest regular season games of the year, your season's on the line. John Grenard with a grade 1 ankle sprain, according to Aaron Wilson, who reported this, sat out. I think he's in it. I think the money's the motivation. And there's nothing wrong with that. Like if some players have the money as the motivation, that's fine. But if you do have that motivation and you get paid, I don't think you're ever going to be the same player that you were.
We know Aaron Wilson's missed at least two things, so it's possible he could have missed the third. It's possible he could have missed the third.
It is possible. Because it is odd that he missed two of the biggest games of the year with a grade one ankle sprain.
But we also know that, like you said, some guys are in it for the money and don't have that same kind of mentality that we would have if we had the ability they had to go out and say, if this is a huge game, I got to play.
Yeah,
it's hard to refute the missing the games if the grade one ankle sprain thing is true. I guess it's whatever you believe about his injury history, if he's injury prone, because I think we've seen when he plays a majority of the games, he produces.
Yeah.
The two seasons he's done it, he had 8 sacks in 12 games and then, 12.5 and 15 last year. So if you think he's going to stay healthy, I don't see a reason to believe that he wouldn't produce to get at least like 9-10 sacks. Maybe 12.5 is career high,
yeah. But
I think he could be like a 9-10 sack guy.
Okay. Who are you most intrigued to see, Blankers?
There's several. I mean, I love the fact that there's so many storylines in the NFL this year. I think the obvious one is Rodgers, whether you hate him or you love him. And we talked about...
You got to let go of your ex, Joel.
No. But I mean, it's the reason why I just said it right off the top. I think
Except Jordan Love. Accept Love into your
he's
life.
He's another one. I'm curious to see if he's worth the money, even what Jim just said. And I don't doubt that he doesn't love football. But I think that they jumped too soon on too big of a deal for him. I still have things I got to see from him. I'm watching him, too. I think the team they're playing. I think Nick Sirianni and Jalen Hurts. And can Philadelphia find out, you know, what they have? Because their window's probably closing from where they were when they started out 10-0. And you throw in Saquon Barkley to the mix. I think that's a big storyline to watch.
I'm intrigued. Intrigued by a lot of guys as well.
Mm-hmm.
Kyler Murray intrigues me. The Arizona Cardinals offense intrigues me.
Good call.
And Payne, you mentioned Marvin Harrison Jr. He's a big reason why. I think Trey McBride leads them in receiving and in receptions.
Ooh.
I think he's going to be really, really good. And then you pair that with Marvin Harrison Jr., with Kyler Murray, who is the best athlete that walks planet Earth these days. Who else has been drafted in two big-time professional sports in the first round? One guy, Kyler Murray. So he's the best athlete that literally exists. I'm also very I'm intrigued by the Eagles' offense, what Kellen Moore does to that Philly offense. I think it's going to make or break them, because I agree their defense is really good. If their offense is good, you have a Super Bowl contender. If their offense is stagnant to what they were last year, you have a divisional round playoff team.
There's a chance they don't make the playoffs.
I wouldn't go that far. I think they make the playoffs.
If like their
the
offense AFC, is stagnant, yeah.
Yeah, but the 6-7 spots in the NFC, like, it's pretty soft.
That's like a 9-win team.
Yeah, it's pretty soft in the middle there. AFC, like, right, 6-7 in the AFC is going to be like Miami, like that or Cleveland if Deshaun Watson's good.
Yeah, last playoff team in the NFC, it could be 9 wins, where it could be 11 for the AFC. Mm-hmm. I think that's a big difference here.
11's kind of hot, takey.
I don't know. Well, I mean, the Dolphins were, what, 11-win team last year?
They got in.
Yeah, I know, and they were, I think, the 6 or 7 seasons.
What was Cleveland
point.
Though? I think Cleveland won 10 games.
No, they were 11. Really? They had more. I think the only 10 win team in the playoffs were the Texans.
That's insane. Who are you most intrigued to watch, Brian?
There's two. One is I'm going to stick here and with our
Beloved Cougs.
With our beloved Cougs, I'm really interested to see what happens now with Tank Dell in a full season, and more so kind of the split of the targets between the three wide receivers here in Houston. We've spent all offseason talking about ever since that Diggs trade. Who's the number one? Doesn't matter. Whatever. I want to see, is Nico Collins the one? Is Tank Dell that torrid pace he was on before he was stuck inside as a guard on the goal line? Was that true? I want to see how that breaks down. And the other one is Jaden Daniels in Washington.
Yeah.
I mean, I really want to see what he has for the NFL level, both from his running ability, plus he has a good number one wide receiver, Terry McLaurin. I really think Washington could surprise a lot of people this year, so I'm really excited to see Jaden Daniels take the field.
I think you got
to
throw in the guy that was drafted ahead of him. I think with all the hype of Caleb Williams, I think everybody's watching on the same lines of you put everything around him that you possibly could, and people are saying it's a sexy pick for a team to make the playoffs. Everybody's going to be watching Caleb Williams.
Yeah, Caleb Williams will be a fun watch. Just finished watching Hard Knocks yesterday. To piggyback off the Jaden Daniels thing, that's a Cliff Kingsbury offense.
Yeah, that part does worry
Cliff
me a
Kingsbury
little bit.
Cliff Kingsbury offense. Yeah. Well, I think it's going to lead to some numbers.
It will help.
They get a little vanilla at times, especially around the goal line, but it can help for a little while.
They're going to be explosive. He's going to open that thing up.
Yeah, I don't think they're going to win a lot of games, but I think they'll be fun to watch offensively. 4-6-6-1, boring take, but I'm watching Kenyon Green. That's fine. He's going to have – it's a very important
feels
year
like
for
a
him.
Watch.
3-2-0-9, I'm intrigued to watch all NFC and AFC North quarterbacks. Okay. I'm looking forward to watching Dak and the Cowboys choke. Okay. Anti-Dallas fan. I'm most intrigued to see who we all go to the games to see, the referees, and how much they can make the games worse. The Zebras.
Was that from Ben DeBose?
You beat me to it. At least he's listening.
Yeah.
I would say another one that everybody would be intrigued to watch is Harbaugh with the Chargers. Yeah. How does that affect the offense and Herbert?
Man. Yeah, what can Herbert do with basically nobody wide receiver?
See them run for 3 yards in a cloud of dust. No, thank you. That they do not intrigue me. That offense does not intrigue me at all.
I want to see what Herbert looks like, though.
I do, too.
Is he a guy that can elevate lesser than wide receivers, or is he a lesser-tier quarterback than we'd hoped he'd be?
Be hand-in Charger fan. Will Levis doesn't intrigue you. That's a good call. Will Levis does intrigue me, especially with that offense, Callahan.
I'll give you another
head coach.
Derrick Henry with Baltimore.
Oh, yeah, that's a good
call. Once he got left, and with that offensive line and that running system, that could be big.
20 touchdowns for Derrick Henry this year?
Too much.
I think it's in play. 713-780-3776. Which first-year coach in the NFL do you think will have the most wins? It's the Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. 713-780-ESPN, the conversation on the other side. It's the Bees on ESPN 97.5.
ESPN 97.5. Live in the Veritex Community Bank Studios, it's the Killer Bees. Now back to Joel and Jeremy.
DirecTV and DirecTV Stream customers, have you lost ESPN, including college football, Monday Night Football, ESPN, Sunday Night Baseball, SportsCenter, and more. Take action now. Call 844-KEEP-MY-ESPN or visit keepmyespn.com. Which NFL first-year head coach... So it's kind of this eliminates Dan Quinn because he's not a first-year NFL head coach. First year with the Commanders, but not first year as a head coach. Which first-year NFL head coach will finish with the most wins? Antonio Pierce, is he part of this because he was interim last year?
I think he should be.
All right, so we'll include him. Mike McDonald, Seattle. Antonio Pierce, Vegas. Brian Callahan, Tennessee. Gerard Mayo, New England. Dave Canales, from Carolina. Which of those?
Aren't you missing one?
No.
Harbaugh.
Harbaugh's not a first-year head coach.
Oh, I guess.
Same thing as Dan Quinn.
Yeah.
Same thing as Dan Quinn. So, and that's why I asked about Pierce.
Mm-hmm.
Because Pierce was an interim, but had that removed. Is it his first year as NFL head coach?
How many games did he coach at the end of year six?
That sounds about right.
Yeah, okay.
Sounds about right.
We can have him in the conversation.
So McDonald, Pierce, Callahan, Mayo, Canales, first year NFL head coaches, which one's going to finish with the most wins?
I'd probably lean McDonald.
Seattle?
Yeah, because they got a really good defense. Geno's been serviceable. I mean, he's had his moments. They have Metcalf. They have good receivers. Their line is solid. I think from a team perspective, I would lean Seattle.
You want another Branham hot take?
Yeah.
I don't think Metcalf's their best receiver.
Who is it?
Jackson Smith and Jigba.
It's possible.
I like him a lot. Geno had a bad year last year. He was really good 2 years ago. That receiving core, and Lockett's a little older. Like, I think Lockett's clearly their number three. But with those two guys, with Metcalf and Jackson Smith and Jigba, that's an underrated wide receiver duo.
Good
in the
line.
NFL.
They had a revolving door of running backs, but they could run the football to some degree.
And yeah. McDonald's a defensive-minded guy.
Yep.
So, like, if you get top 15 offense, McDonald gives you top 15 defense, that's not a division you're going to win because San Francisco's in it, but you have Arizona, who's beatable, even though I'm intrigued by them. You have the Rams, who I think are beatable. Sorry, Keith from L.A. Sorry, Sean McVay. I like McDonald. Pierce, the Raiders, they just don't have quarterback play. Like, I don't trust them to win more than six or seven games. Callahan, I don't know. I don't see it happening. That defense may be a little bit better than we think. If Levis breaks out, they have Calvin Ridley. They have DeAndre Hopkins. You know, Tony Pollard, fine at the running back position. Mayo, no. I think they're in contention for the worst record in the NFL. Yeah. Carolina's defense is putrid. I think they're in contention for the worst record in the NFL. I have to go McDonald, too. Like, I got to. McDonald. That's my answer.
Not you, Brian.
No, make it unanimous. I would also go with Mike McDonald here, not only because of the last name similarity, but yeah, I mean they were the only team with weapons here that you trust, and also I mean you look at this list. It's Gardner Minshew, it's Will Levis, it's Bryce Young, it's whoever starts in New England, whether it be Jacoby Brissett or Drake May. I'll take Geno. I know he had a disappointing season last year, but when you look at the numbers, it really wasn't that he was bad. The offense just seemed to ask him to challenge down the field less, and so the production came down. But I trust the numbers. They brought in a guy from the Washington Huskies to run a more modern offense.
I forgot about that.
Yeah, they brought to run a more modern offense. Apparently, they hated the OC who left that was there last year that went to the Chicago Bears. So look out, Bears fans. But I think the Seahawks and Mike McDonald are the answer here.
Would it change your opinion, since we're all unanimous on McDonald? Would it change it if we said that Harbaugh and Quinn were eligible?
Not for me with Harbaugh. I don't think the Chargers will have a better record than the Seahawks. And then you said Quinn. No, they wouldn't.
Yeah, me either, simply because of the fact that I think Seattle's got an outside shot to make the playoffs. And I don't think anybody else does.
Yeah,
I'm just not a believer in the – some people are really high on the Chargers already so soon. I'm just not there.
I think the Chargers and the Commanders would probably be capped at 8 wins as their upside, whereas I could easily see the Seahawks getting to 9 or 10. So I would still take the Seahawks. I'm not saying I'm betting it.
I would say 9 absolute tops.
That's the ceiling for the Seahawks as well.
Well, still, that would be
– I don't think Seattle's a playoff team.
I don't either.
Yeah, I don't. I saw people sneaking them in as the last playoff team in the NFC.
I guess it depends on what you think of Geno. I mean,
I've never been a Geno fan.
Well, I'm just saying, if Geno could play like 2022 Geno, then I think playoffs sneaking in as a 9-win team in the NFC is possible.
I think they're the only team of this list that has a chance to sneak in. I don't have any. I mean, obviously,
I agree.
I don't have any of these teams in the playoffs. If I had to pick one, I mean, it's the same question. Like, which of these first-year head coaches has the best chance or is going to win the most games? It's the same question as which of these teams has the best chance to sneak. Well, I think it's the same question.
Yeah.
I mean, it's the same question phrased two different ways. Like, you're going to have the same answer. Like, they're correlated together.
Yeah, I think that, you know, if Pierce is in the mix, then Pierce's chances to make the playoffs would be competitive. Maybe it's slightly less than Seattle, but everybody else is a distant third.
Yeah. All right, 713-780-ESPN, HRMP listener line, 713-780-3776. It's time for our car wreck of the day. What are you nominating for the car wreck of the day? It's the Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
Guys, we all know football's back. Less than 24 hours or right around 24 hours from now, we're going to be looking at the first NFL game of the year, a big second week of college football, and of course, all the action in the NFL on Sunday, Sunday night, and Monday. You want to make all those games more interesting? I always tell you, go to mybookie.ag. They always have incredible promotions going on. They got even more right now. They got weekly risk-free boosts on Thursdays for tomorrow night's game. You can bet without a sweat. If your bet hits, you win. If it doesn't, you forget it. MyBookie's going to refund your wager. That's what I'm talking about. That's a no-lose proposition. That's phenomenal. MyBookie also giving away hundreds of thousands in prizes with their Super Survivor and Squares contest. All you got to do to join in for your shot at huge cash rewards, get to MyBookie.ag. Always remember our promo code, BET975. It is the key. When you use that promo code, you're going to claim extra bank on your first deposit. That means you put money in, and whatever you put in, it'll dictate how much extra they put on top of it. It'll be there immediately. You'll see it in your account. More money you have in your account, more games you can bet on, more chances you can win. You can go in and make your first deposit with your credit card, with crypto. They'll work it out with you. The bigger your deposit, the bigger that bonus is going to be, the more games you can have fun with. And live dealers are standing by all the time to play casino games with you if you don't want to or there's no games going on. Always have all the sports with MyBookie.ag, but if you want casino games, you have to fly to Vegas, you have to drive to Louisiana. MyBookie.ag has you covered. You can play your blackjack, you can play your poker, and so much more. Those live dealers waiting on you. Check them out today. Go to MyBookie.ag. Do what I always tell you to do. Bet anything, anytime, anywhere with the only place I tell you to do it. MyBookie.ag. Use our promo code BET975.
ESPN 97.5. You're listening to The Killer Bees with Joe Blank and Jeremy Branham
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios.
Eric Geddy on the bump at Great American Ballpark tonight. 6:05 first pitch. What does Eric Geddy give you tonight for the Astros?
I like the matchup. I like Spencer Eric Geddy. He's going to go, 6 1/3. And let's go one run.
He's already given up a meatball, so.
Well, there's the one run.
And a double immediately after that. I'll take it. I'll take that from Spencer Arrighetti. I'll take that from Spencer Arrighetti. Yeah. I think that wins the game. But doesn't look like it's going to happen. A 9229, people are massively underestimating Will Levis and the Titans.
Massively?
We'll see. I mean, I nailed my Will Levis.
With his, one good game last
analysis
year?
Analysis last year. I nailed it. Second best rookie quarterback in the NFL last year.
It's a low bar you cleared.
Yeah, I don't see
real low. Bryce
Young's
a short guy.
Bar.
Yeah.
We'll see. Like, this is, I mean, it's why they hired Brian Callahan, to get the most out of a young quarterback. We'll see what it looks like. All right, let's get to our car wreck of the day.
You all right?
My leg's broken. The bone's coming through.
Let me see. Give me all you brick. Where's my money?
This is the car wreck of the day.
All right. What are you nominating for the car wreck of the day? 713-780-3776. What do you have, Blinkers?
My first one is, and this isn't his first appearance on Car Wreck, but we do know that as Ozzie Guillen does his color commentary and analyst work on White Sox games, he doesn't hold back. He doesn't like guys that got the job that he didn't get when he criticizes the manager earlier in the year. He's kind of turned his focus to the fact there were some bad calls in by the umpires last night.
All right, so you have Hunter Wendelstedt. He's the home plate umpire.
I wish I punched him in the face.
Why? Oh, you have a history with him?
He's the first guy kicked me out of the game in the big league.
He was?
With no reason.
Hunter Wendelstedt?
Yes, he come out there and I was playing third baseman and his dad.
Yeah,
he was a
legend.
Yeah.
Then I say, you know what? You know the people your dad is behind.
Uh-oh.
I told him that. You know your people your dad is behind.
You're not a
people
respect. Behind, yeah.
Because he kicked me out running out of the field.
Better.
Like, okay, I went out to second base, and he kicked me out of the game. Like, wait a minute. You know who I am?
Whoa.
Don't leave. No, he said, don't leave with your daddy's name. I spent more years in the big league as you.
Yeah, I like Ozzie. Ozzie Guillen's the only reason to watch White Sox baseball.
He finished it. At the end of all that, they showed one more replay of the bad calls, and he said to the umpire, you look at him, he's too fat to be in that uniform. He just doesn't hold back.
I love me some Ozzie Guillen. It's awesome. I'm going to nominate Penny Hardaway. Penny Hardaway has fired three assistants and one special advisor in the last 24 hours. The college basketball season kicks off in 2 months. This is not the time to have coaching turnover, and Penny axed four of them. Three of them assistants. One of them, Rick Stansbury, who brought in to like basically recruit this class. What is going on in Memphis?
Well, that's the biggest question.
Yeah, do we know what's not deserved?
Doubtful. It's Penny.
Is it like he's worried about more violations since he's already done time off for recruiting violations and things? Or
Penny runs off assistants every single year. I think it's a Penny problem.
He had Larry Brown. He had
ran off him.
Rashid. He had Mike Miller.
Yep.
Yeah, they've all come and gone.
He's ran off Frank Haith, who's now at Texas, top assistant for Terry. He runs off assistants after assistants after assistants. I think Penny's the problem.
Yeah, he's
I think Penny's
seat.
The problem. What a weird time to do this. Brian, what are you nominating?
I'm going to nominate the White Sox for going full White Sox.
Yeah, and the truth is, if you have great stuff, you can challenge over the white part of the plate a little bit more and let your stuff just play. If you don't, you better figure out...
Oh, no! Oh, my goodness! The White Sox have just gone full White Sox.
Oh, wow.
So that is Orioles broadcaster Kevin Brown describing a lazy pop fly in no man's land, but three White Sox ran to it, and two of them collided into each other. They were already trailing 4-0 at the point. Of course, they lost the game, as they always do. But yeah, they ran into each other full speed, the White Sox defenders, and the ball fell harmlessly to the turf, allowing the runner to reach, which was Eloy Jimenez, I believe. Not having a good season, and you did him a favor.
Yeah.
And then the guy that they ended up getting rid of that went to Baltimore, they were playing the Orioles. They had an easy play in front of the plate. And the pitcher threw it into the ear hole of his helmet, and they White Sox are going to White Sox again.
I'm going to nominate Brian for car wreck of the day for saying Eloy Jimenez is a White Sox.
No, I didn't. I said he was at bat.
Oh.
He was the one that hit the
I nominate myself for hearing you wrong. It's on Brian. I'm
trained. He was on the White Sox.
That's also got hit in the ear hole.
That's on me. I'm the
he
car
was the
wreck
batter
of the day.
Who hit the ball that
gotcha,
they ran.
Gotcha,
yeah.
Gotcha. Dre nominates me for thinking the Texans will win 11 games. Actually, have him at 10. I was trying to get Brian to say 12.
Yeah, you got tricked. You got duped.
I did. I got deked. So if you're nominated for car wreck of the day, you got to nominate me for being deked instead of that, because I think they're going to win 10 games. Can I give a 4 nomination for Spencer Arrighetti?
Uh-oh. I thought the game started at 6:05.
I think there's going to be a lot of meatballs in that Arrighetti today.
Oh, no. Right.
I think there's going to be a lot of meatballs.
Well, Joel, you don't have a game to watch tonight. You're
I don't, and there goes my chances. My chances are slimmer to get a bye in the playoffs.
Yuliai Putseneva, disrespectful to the ball girl at the U.S. Open.
Oh, I saw that.
These ball girls throwing her balls, and she's just like letting them hit her. It was so bizarre.
And they said that this is the first time that she's had these kind of pouty reactions on the court or
couldn't,
something.
Couldn't tell
I was
you.
Reading the article, but I did see the video, and I was like, why are you doing that to the kid?
Yeah, the kid handled it to perfection, though. Yeah. Like, what a pro that kid was.
Yep.
And then, did you know that this is the first time an American will play for the U.S. Open men's single title since 2006? There's an all-U.S. semifinal. Taylor Fritz and Francis Tiafoe.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. This is car wreck for the rest of the country for letting an American man in a Grand Slam final. What are we doing here, tennis? American men don't belong in the Grand Slam finals.
Where's Agassi and McEnroe when you need them?
I know. Sampras.
Yeah.
All right, what's winning?
I hate to say it. Did anybody know? If it's Arrighetti, it's Arrighetti.
Yeah.
On a late ad.
Maybe we can give Arrighetti and maybe he'll turn it around. Let's do it, Arrighetti. Congratulations,
yeah,
Arrighetti. You win. Might be the only thing you're winning today. Thanks to Brian for doing the hard work. He's blank on Brandon. We'll talk to you tomorrow, Houston. Mike Elko coming up at 7:30 right here. Goodbye, Houston.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5.
We're taking a break.
Okay. That's cool.
Hey, soccer fans, Glenn Davis here. Thank you for supporting Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5, brought to you by our presenting sponsor, the Daspit Law Firm. Join me for the best in soccer talk or football talk.
Mornings can start feeling the same. Wake up, brush teeth, go to work. But with breakfast from Wendy's, it's like, wake up, brush teeth, baconate with a breakfast baconator, roll with the sausage breakfast burrito, buddy it up with a honey buddy, or get seasoned with seasoned potatoes, and then go to work. Sorry. When you're ready for a fresh wake-up call, gotta be Wendy's.
At participating U.S. Wendy's during breakfast hours.
When your company earns unlimited 2% cash back on all purchases with Capital One, that's serious business. So, Steven at SandCloud got a serious business card, the Spark Cash Plus card from Capital One.
We used our 2% cash back to help build our retail presence.
Savvy, Steven.
And we get big purchasing power, so our business can spend more and earn more.
The Spark Cash Plus Card from Capital One. What's in your wallet?
Terms and conditions apply. Find out more at CapitalOne.com/SparkCashPlus.
Lowe's knows tough jobs call for tougher tools. The new DeWalt Elite Series Power Tool Accessories are built to last for the pro who doesn't stop. With precision fitment, durability, and impact resistance, finishing jobs faster has never been easier. Shop the new DeWalt Elite Series at an everyday low price exclusively at Lowe's. We help, you save.